Here's one of the Proverbs that's not in the book. Fearful men control, intelligent men analyze, the wise men listen with intent to understand. I like to collect these every time I see something like that.
What verse is that?
First chair.
That's one I just picked up out of, it's not in the book.
Oh, okay.
Another one is, do not follow up a sincere apology with a weak excuse. When you truly apologize for being wrong, don't follow it up with, I just had a bad day. My toenail hurts. I hit my hand. I hurt. They always want to add that extra thing in trying to get out of the excuse that the apology was given. Okay. They're not written in the book, Doug. They're not written in the book. Let me see if I can. Number 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I'm going to put that in today's language.
If you give up when trouble comes, it shows that you're weak.
Okay. Which is something we hear very common today. It's a crisis that separates the men from the boys. You know what your character is. You know what your true metal is. When you are faced with such an adversity that you have to make a decision, a right decision, a godly decision.
Have to go along with that trouble because men care about making excuses.
Making excuses.
Yeah. If you fail or if you fall short, you know, mm-hmm. your strength is weak. Mm-hmm. You know, it shows that. You know, don't try to make an excuse for it. You just own up to it. Mm-hmm. You say, you know, work on time to do better. We all are working progress. You know, we just don't want to bear that guilt.
We just don't want to, you know, we want to water down our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, ladies. Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
All right.
A man who truly loves the Lord will be faithful. And he'll be faithful even unto death. I would hope that my faith in God is such that if I faced what they faced in the old days, where they faced life or death, that I would stay true. That would be my prayer. Have that kind of faith. Does anybody have any question about that problem? I hope and I pray that at this point, you've got such a basis in Proverbs that wisdom there comes into your line of thinking, and that some of these are just becoming logical to you instead of being, has to be explained. The whole purpose is try to get God's mindset, and that's what Proverbs is, on how He reacts to world problems, or how He wants us to react to a world problem, as opposed to how the world wants us to react to world problems. And by this time, we should be having such a basis that we can start logically in our mind figuring out what God is trying to get across to us. Verses 11 and 12 are kind of difficult. We have to dig into this a little bit. Deliver them that are carried away unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. See that thou hold back. If thou sayest, behold, we knew not this, doth not he that weigheth the hearts consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his work? There are trials and tribulations that we as Christians face where we have to make decisions. I can explain probably better 12 than I can verses 11. If thou sayest, behold, we knew not this. In other words, we deny that we say, I didn't know anything about that. and you can't hold me responsible. I didn't know anything about it, when in fact we knew enough about it to know if someone was guilty, then they should be to get their punishment according to their guilt. We want to have what we call pardonable ignorance. And I don't know anything about that. I didn't know they were stealing. I didn't know they were doing drugs over there. I didn't know that all this was going on, when in fact we did know it. We just turned our back to it. But those people will get punished, either by the law or by God, and that there are times when we have to say, yeah, I saw them. I witnessed with my own eyes and own up to it. Sometimes we just don't want to get in the middle of somebody's mess. That's our excuse anyway. And summation on the same, God pity the Christian who refused to be involved, saying, well, that's none of my business. What they're doing over that house, or what they're doing next door, or what's going on with even members of our family or our friends. Well, that's none of my business. Does anybody else have any comments on those two verses? I dug on that thing and took me. Let's see, Acts 14:22. We must face trials and tribulations. We as Christians must face trials and tribulations to enter into His kingdom. And sometimes these are trials and tribulations to us, and whether we get involved or we don't get involved, or whether we try to stay, I don't know anything. I didn't know anything. All right, 26, 13 and 14. My son, eat thou honey, for it is good, and the droppings of the honeycomb which are sweet to thy taste. So shalt thou know wisdom be unto thy soul. If thou hast found it, then shall it be a reward, and thy hope shall not be cut off. Wisdom is to the mind is what honey is to the mouth and taste. If you've tasted it, keep it. Don't let it escape from you. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study, to show thyself approved of God. And you're going to get wisdom if you study. You're going to get a taste of it. And so if you found it, then pursue it. And from the very first of Proverbs up to now, it was basically do everything you can to get hold of wisdom and obtain it and use it. Eternal hope really depends on us finding wisdom, and the wisdom that saves the soul is found in the Holy Bible, of course. Anybody got any comments on that? 15 and 16. Lay not in wait, O wicked man, against the habitation of the righteous. Destroy not his resting place, for a righteous man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked overthrown by calamity. This is a warning to those who would oppose righteousness and wickedness. Basically saying, God protects these people. God protects us. You may think you're getting over on us, or you might think that you're taking advantage of them. But in the end, God's their protector. And we've got to depend on God to taking the actions against these people rather than us trying to take vengeance on our own. We'll have several longer verses about seeking revenge because we don't want to do that. This is basically saying that God is your protector. He's going to watch out for you. Comments? Christ Himself in the Great Commission promised us He's going to go. He said, go into the world. He says, and he reminds us, says, and I'll be with you always. So we've got to protect a pledge and a promise by God Himself that He's going to be with us. He's going to take care of us. Go went through rural preaching to teach it.
Yeah.
All too often, I think because we live in a material world, we get caught up with material things. Of course, that's what the devil uses to throw us off course all the time anyway, material things. He makes the pressures of the world seem so important that you forget about doing what's right and what's wrong, you know, as far as if you're in desperate need of money or funds for something, you put aside your morals in order to get that money to do what you want to do. You know, that's just one aspect of how the devil works on us. So we put more value on what's material important than what is more than important. Mm-hmm. But in the end, as scripture says, you know, you still want to suffer. Because even if you accomplish what you set out to accomplish with the material things, like then, you still got to pay for it again. You know, you still have to pay for that with the way in which you did it, if it was immoral. You have to pay for it on judgment, mm-hmm. which we only concern ourselves because this is what we see. This is what seems to be so important. And we don't see judgment coming as swiftly as it is coming. You know, it's like if you're in the tide, as long as you're moving along, you don't know how fast the tide is running. Mm-hmm. But once you stop, you know, you get to a point where it's stationary, you say, oh, this water's really moving. You know, so we get caught up. But we have to keep in mind what's coming. Mm-hmm. You know, we still have to give an account for everything that's going to happen. And God is going to hold us accountable for it.
It shows you how true that homemade proverb we talked about not too long ago, that Satan is dimming our lights mm-hmm. so slowly mm-hmm. that darkness seems normal to us now.
Yeah.
Things that we rejected years ago yeah. are just normal to us now. What a great tool that Satan has against us by normalizing.
Well, do you know there's a cartoon on Prime Videos about the devil, and they made a cartoon out of it, and about how it's all makes the devil in like a good light, so to speak, and you know, hell is. You know, I mean, it's all okay. And Satan's daughter, and I don't know what else. I just saw little clips of it, but it's like, oh, it's okay. You know, the devil is fun, and you know, poor devil. You know, he gets a bad rap, and you know, so like they're indoctrinating kids with this stuff, and it's in cartoon form.
In fact, I just heard the other day that there's some high school, I think it was out in Illinois, that now has a Satan's Club.
Sure.
Right there in the high school. They fight religion and kept God out of there. You know. But now they're allowing a Satan's Club.
Yeah.
You're talking about the devil dimming our light so slowly. That in my day.
Yeah.
So it was almost back in my day, the Puritans up there were burning people. This is state was called them Cain and Satan. And then they had a Satan Club in high school.
Back in the day, when they allowed the court to throw God out of the pressure.
Oh, yeah.
It was back in the day where evolution
wouldn't matter to be taught.
People think that now is, you know, it's always been now. Even when I was a kid, now. It's always worse in history. It's never been this bad. It's been this bad the whole time. Differently.
Yeah.
But just like the kids call it global warming. Of course it's global warming. You've got old fools who can't remember what it was like when they were a kid. The summers used to be hot before air conditioning. Oh, it's worse than ever been. Oh, it's global. It was hot. It's always been hot. It's going to be hot. It's summer.
It'll be hotter.
It's going to be cold.
Yeah.
It's winter. If you don't like the weather, it'll change. It just, it, the worst time in history ever. Christ came at just the right time and died for sinful man. That was his time. That was the time. These were as bad as we were ever going to get to mankind being separated from God. And Christ came to save us at that time.
And he's coming back. Yeah. He's going to come back. He's told us he's coming back.
Evolution is still just a theory. And
it is a theory.
If we're evolving, if mankind is evolving, why haven't we gotten any better or any smarter? Or why haven't we grown new appendages? Or why don't we see, you know, other creatures evolving into something else? I mean, we don't, because it's not real.
Mm-hmm. Evolution has you believing that our forefathers were a bunch of dumb apes.
Yeah.
Dumb apes didn't build pyramids.
Yes.
Dumb apes didn't take where just a scattering of people and turn them into nations mm-hmm. and peoples and languages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't work on trying to recreate the ark.
It's gospel truth, though.
And wooden ships. We can't build like that anymore. But a man supposed to live back, you know, with no technology, was able to build uh-huh. the ship that saved the uh-huh. world. You know, this. It, and yet, everybody thinks the forefathers, and every generation thinks the generation before was the dumbest. All y'all messed it up. My kids, I get tired of
that. Judge Masal is right. Every day we're one day closer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're one day closer. Mm-hmm. Every day that passes by, we're one day closer to the end. Verses 17 and 18, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he is overthrown, lest Jehovah see it, and it displeases him, and he turns away his wrath from him. We know there's many verses in there that we don't try to seek revenge, we don't try to curse our enemies. The second part of that, lest Jehovah see it and displeases him and he turns away his wrath. It doesn't mean that God is not going to punish that evil person. I want you to understand. That's not what that means. That means that God sees that his servant is singing revenge thoughts mm-hmm. and he displeases him for us to think that way. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Matthew 5:44 says, bless those who curse you. Love your enemies. So God tells us what to do, but we're not even supposed to murmur. Say, yeah, they got what they deserve. Mm-hmm. We're not even supposed to do that to our friends. They got what they deserve, yeah. I'm glad to see it. We're not even supposed to murmur stuff like that, yeah.
All you got to do is look at the cross. Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Mm-hmm. And that's about the worst that anybody could have known. Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to do. We're being human. We're being here on this world. That's what the world wants you to do. Wants you to get you hit you knock you back even harder. It's hard. It's hard to say, bless you in it, or I'll pray for you or something like that. But then, when you think that God is the author of spiritual punishment. We're not privileged to take that away from him, or even tempt to take that away from him. He'll get it. They'll get what they deserve. And we don't have to worry about poisoning our minds or getting hate in our hearts because of something they did. All right, 19 and 20. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. And the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Again, just another expression down there. Forget those people. Don't envy them. Don't even give them thought. It's almost identical to verse chapter 13, verse 9, by the way. Prosperity of the wicked is only temporary. It's only temporary. Some more temporary than others. Some of them get the rewards right here and there. Some of them get it in eternity. but they will get their rewards, those that evil. 21:22, my son, fear thou Jehovah and the king, and company not with them that are given to change, for their calamities shall rise suddenly, and the destruction from them both who knoweth it. Fear Jehovah, fear God, fear the king, because God had allowed him to be in power. And don't company with them given change. They have to be talking about trying to overthrow the government. There's something called passive resistance, where you can express your God-based beliefs, where if you oppose something, but you don't go out with that mob up and down the street, tearing down things, setting things on fire, looting stores. You just don't do that. You can express your way in a vote, and with your voice, and then God takes care of the rest of it. Don't side with the evildoers, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and destruction from them both who knoweth it. Peter said, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. The remaining part of that was honor, company not with them that are given to change. Don't become a part of their behavior. Verse 23-25. These are also sayings of the wise. To have respect of persons in judgment is not good. He that saith in the wicked, thou art righteous, people shall curse him, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and good blessings shall come upon them. God is no respecter of persons in Acts 10:34. We're not allowed to be a respecter of persons. Sometimes it's hard to stand up to someone when they're expressing their opinions and prejudice. But they're going against God. He is not a respecter of persons, and neither we should be. In verse 26, he kisseth the lips who giveth the right answer. Just a way of expressing the testimony of honesty. It's appreciation for the witness who testify honestly before a tribunal or when they have to express it before courts. If you give the right answer, the honest answer, then that it's worth a kiss on the lips or an act of good favor. 27, prepare thy work without and make it ready for thee in the field, and afterward build the house. Luke 14:28, it says, which of you intended to build a house does not sit down and consider all the cost? I'm going through that now. And unfortunately, I haven't gone over the road yet. But it's a lot of figuring in there. Before you make a decision or before you try to get into something that you need advice on, seek counsel. All through Proverbs, seek counsel, get advice. And don't go about something without being prepared. And if all possible, have all the answers that you can get. In verse 28 and 29 kind of picks up on that. It says, be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause. Do not willfully accuse someone over exaggerate their doings to try to get them in trouble. Say not to them, I will do as he's done unto me. I will render a man according to his work. That's another way of saying, do not get revenge that way. Do not get revenge. Romans 12:19. Again, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is his. Revenge belongs to God and God only. Verses 38-34. And some of this has to be coming back to you, because we've talked about this a lot. This is one of the I can really set off at least 12 verses in Proverbs tell you about being lazy. I went to the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. That would be a sluggard, a fool. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and the face thereof was covered with nettles, and the stone thereof was broken down. Then I beheld and considered all. I saw and received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall the poverty come as a robber, and thy want as an armed man. As visual proof of what laziness and being a sluggard will do to someone trying to make it in this life. And I'll just quickly have you 10:26, 12:11, 24:27, 13:4, 14:4, 3:23, 15:19, 16:26, 18:9, 19:50. All these are about sluggards and laziness. And why would God put this in here so many times? Knock it in your head. Knock it in your head. Don't be a sluggard.
But a little rest and a little slumber
should push you. Yeah, I'm glad you said little.
Because that's what it says. A little sleep and a little slumber.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Emphasize little in that. A little sleep.
It shouldn't push you to poverty.
It shouldn't put you in poverty. But when you go by and see his whole field is destroyed, and his vines are destroyed, and chickweed, or you can use briars, or whatever you want to put in there. He didn't take care of them. He didn't get rid of them. So they choked out everything he had.
So he must have had more than a little sleep.
Yeah, he had a lot of sleep. He was sleeping when he should have been cleaning up his, preparing his truck, his crops.
He was on a vacation.
Yeah, he was on vacation all the time.
Like people today want something to know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of them want to stay home and put the feet up.
There have been many a farm and many a business where a father or parents have toiled all their life to build it up and make it survivable and to furnish the needs and everything for the family, and then a lazy child comes in there. And he's used to being fed without getting out there made to work. And he goes down. They lose these big farms. They lose these little farms to bigger people come in and buy them up. Just because they didn't want to work like their parents worked. Now, chapters 25 through 29 a Proverbs that Solomon wrote, but they were edited by King Hezekiah's scribes. And other than giving you that information, I cannot dig up any more information on it. Solomon spoke 3,000 Proverbs, and of course you just see what this is all we have in Proverbs here. So there are many out there that are missing. But these particular ones that said references Hezekiah when he was king, had his men go through and edit some of these, and I don't know what kind of editing they would have done. But it is acknowledged that Hezekiah redid these four chapters here. It is the glory of a king to conceal a thing, but the glory of kings is no. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so is the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and there cometh forth a vessel for the refiner. Take away the wicked before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. It always comes to my mind. Deuteronomy 29:29, when there are things that I can't absorb or explain, and it says secret things belong unto God. There are things in there that I'm not capable of understanding in the Bible. Those things belong to God. But the line right after that, but those things that are revealed are there for our admonishments and correction. So I accept that. And so there are things that the glory of God, he has things that we'll never understand because we can't match his wisdom. It's not that he's trying to hide anything from us, but he's trying to prove to us we're not as smart as he is, and we never will be as smart as he is. But the glory of kings now, he's supposed to search out that matter. He's supposed to find out what kind of people work for him. Are they doing a good job? Are they being unfair? So it's up to him to do that. And, of course, verse 4 says, when you take away the dross, in other words, you take away the impurity from the silver, you will get pure silver. When you take away take away silver, they're coming forth a vessel for the refiner. Take away the wicked before the king. When you take away those wicked people out of his throne, then he's going to have a good kingdom. And that's his job, to find out who he has to get rid of, who might be in there trying to destroy his kingdom. And God, of course, when he allowed them to be king, then they're there because of his grace. The glory of a king is to search out a matter. So he has what they call administrative probes. A lot of our government officers should be probed to see what they're doing. Anybody got any thoughts on those verses? 6 and 7, put not thyself forward in the presence of a king, and stand not in the place of a great man. For better is it to be said unto thee, come up higher, than thou shouldst be put low in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. You know, Jesus gave us the same explanation in Luke 14:7-11. He said, when you go into a place of promise, take the low seat. And then if someone comes to you and says, hey, come on up here, you deserve to be up here, then you've been elevated, you've been acknowledged. But when you're up there, you say, hey, you come back in, sit back in the back. I got another guy should be sitting up in your place. How bad you feel. So it's a matter of being humble. It's a matter of not putting preeminence over yourself in any situation. Let someone else bring you up. Don't praise your own glory. Don't praise your own glory. Lest you be embarrassed. That's basically what it's saying. Don't be embarrassed. 8 and 10, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know that not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and disclose not the secret of to another, lest he that heareth it revile thee, and thine infamy turn away. Always try to resolve problems with your neighbors. Try not to go to court. Sometimes we exaggerate things, and when they come under scrutiny, it's an embarrassment to us how bad we look or how much we misled someone on another matter. Always try to resolve that. You know, it goes back to that proverb, and this is one of them in the books that says, my argument against my brother was very convincing until he had a chance to speak. When you get him up in court, he's got witnesses against you. You know, you can be made to look like a fool. So strive not to have that, or just strive not to go to court.
Yeah. One of the typical examples that we see now, and we see it every day, all the time, and actually it's when I'm tired of even looking at it, is in the politicians, the politics. They are not talking about what people do, you know, your actions are supposed to speak for you. They're so busy pulling up dirt on each other that they don't even get about what the problem is or what they're supposed to be doing, trying to help the people and solving problems and making life better. Oh, they don't vote for this guy because he did this, and then, oh, he did that, then, and then. Well, what is the issue of what the people want? You know, that's out the window. So this has been going on for so long, and that's what makes it makes the whole, I don't know to put, where to put on it, but everybody that's up there, it makes them all look bad. So we don't have no faith in government whatsoever, because this is all that everybody's up there is doing. And it makes it bad.
I never will forget, was Dougie's dad and my brother Tilly. So the problem with politics is that we've elected so many lawyers to office that they're now making laws that they can arbitrate in court. And who benefits from that? Lawyers. Conflict of interest. They make laws that purposely can be conflicted or be debated in court so that they can continue to make money.
Yeah.
And he valued that he would never, ever, he didn't care what party they were, he would never vote for a lawyer. I remember those words. I never, I don't care who he's representing. Because they're just enriching themselves at our expense. We're the ones in the paying those bills, by the way.
Yeah.
The taxes pay those bills, those lawyer bills. Okay. Number 11 and 12, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and network of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold. So is a wise reprover upon a obedient ear. Those who speak with wisdom and those who will accept that wisdom are those who will rebuke in a godly fashion, and those who accept that rebuke. They're as valuable as that gold that we just mentioned. They're prized more than that gold. Again, putting wisdom right there with desirable as silver and gold.
You know, it's hard for me to relate when people talk about gold and silver, because they've never...
Never passed you
away. I don't even care. I mean, my wife's the same way. Jewelry and stuff is not... It's... And food, shelter, you know, gold, you can't eat it. You can't, you know, you can die for it, from, you know, dry feet or nuts. But it's a, I don't see the value of it.
Of course, a refined gold, when it has that gloss on it, is an eye-catching thing. And even from the earlier days that we've got recorded, it was a prized possession, not because of the value of it, but just the flashiness of it, because you, what they call 24 karat gold with the polished finish, it sparkles, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's a sparkle. It's that
all those pretty people want you to invest in gold and all that kind of thing. It seems like if everything goes terrible,
slowly.
You want to have food in the pantry and roof over your head.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah. Some ammo.
You want toilet paper in the pantry is what you want. That's about as simple as you can get. You know, we laugh at that thing, but it wasn't too long ago when it was scarce.
Yeah.
And everybody was going to every store in town, calling all their friends up. It was truism. It was truism.
You don't miss your water till you well run
dry. I know it. As the coal of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Can you imagine having in the heat of the harvest, and you're out there sweating, and you run that combine or working in fields, and had some ice cold snow that you could melt down and drink or lay in to get cool? Same thing about a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes. He's good news. He's welcome, just like that would be. And I can imagine back in those days how hot it was over there, because then, to my knowledge, most of the land, desert land, didn't have snow. But they knew of it. They knew how refreshing it would be if they had it at the time. As clouds of wind without rain, so is he that boasteth himself of his gifts falsely. So when your expectations are high because you need rain, you need it for the crops, you need it for your fresh water, and these clouds come by, but no rain comes out on them, it's frustrating. So is he that boasteth of himself. He's just a mirage, as they say. Something you see off in the distance that you can never get to. A braggart is what they're talking about when it says he boasts of them and says, that's a braggart. Sometimes people call them windy. Sometimes people call them old windbag.
Yeah.
Another name, yeah.
When you look at the old cowboy movies, cowboy westerns, Indians call them speak with forked tongue.
That's right. Speak with forked tongue. By long forbearing is a ruler persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh his bones. A prince may be persuaded by patience. We have a reminder in here where the widow kept pleading for the judge so much that he finally said, shook his head, all right, gave her whatever she was asking for, gave her what she was asking for. So if it's worth having, if it's worth, don't give up. Keep persistent. Nag them to death. Provide them cut your head off or threaten to cut your head off. But I think if you do it in the right mind, you be persistent about something that's true. Not something that's false, but something that's true. Then you're more apt to win it over than you will be. Well, you won't win it over if you just walk away. You're not persistent. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Let thy foot be seldom in a neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and hate thee. Too much of a good thing. Too much of a good thing is not good. Too much staying in someone's home, becoming a part of their family, and not enough of your own family, can get you in trouble too. I'll put that down in plain sense. Don't wear your welcome out in someone else's home. And I've seen that. I've actually seen that destroy a marriage.
Yeah.
Where the two husbands stayed in their houses so much that it ended up costing them a marriage. Too thick. People get too thick. Know when to say, time to go home. I need to go home. Oh, we got people at the door, so we'll stop right there. Let me mark this right here. We'll pick this up at this point next week.